Welcome to Heartland. I am so excited to share today's episode with y'all. I have my friend Brittany Merrill on the show. And this episode, you guys, is seriously like everything I want Heartland to be. And like when I imagine starting the show, like this is what I wanted to happen. She shares like her whole story in today's episode. And I feel like she handles vulnerability with so much strength and grace, and she's seriously someone who just by following her has inspired me for such a long time. So I really enjoyed getting to sit down with her and dive deeper into her story. And she seriously is just like the most creative and kind and inspiring human being. And if you're coming from one of her platforms, you already know that. So I truly, truly feel so lucky to have had her on today's episode. Brittany, thank you again so much for coming on the show. I seriously enjoyed getting to chat with you, and I feel like we could have talked forever. So without further ado, we'll get into today's episode, and I'm so excited for y'all to hear it. Well, Brittany, officially welcome to Heartland. I'm so excited to have you on the show.
I'm so excited to be here. Thank you so much for having me on.
Of course. I know I've been following you for a couple years, and when I started this, you were seriously like one of the first people that came to mind. And when I sent out the emails, I was like, I hope she replies. Like, you're just, I feel like you embody what I want people to get from this. So I'm so excited.
Yeah, no, when I first listened to your introduction, I knew that this was something that I was going to want to jump on with. Your tagline talks about dreamers and dime store cowgirls, and yes. The case that's very fan in me was dying to be on that. So I'm so happy to be here. Thank you for inquiring. Thank you for all the love that you sent my way, because I feel like not only me being on this podcast is just such a great way for, you know, us to connect, but it's also great for, you know, our little friendship as more time goes on. So I'm really happy to be here. Thank you for having me.
For sure. Of course. So I've obviously talked to you about this, but for everyone listening, a couple months ago, you posted on your Instagram story, kind of your story, and starting from high school to where you are now. And it seriously like brought me to tears and made me so inspired. And I remember I screenshotted like 5 slides and I wanted to wake up the next day. And I was like, if Brittany can do it, I can do it. Like, it was seriously the coolest thing. And I remember you sharing like all of the people who swiped up on that story and responded. And I think it was definitely something that sparked a lot of people's hearts. So I kind of want this episode to be you telling your story and you kind of taking the reins, because I know that it really inspired me and I think it's going to inspire a lot of people. So I'm excited.
Thank you so much. I tend to be an oversharer. So I'm sorry to everyone listening if this podcast is like an hour and a half long. Just get a good snack because you're in for a treat.
Exactly.
Yeah, I have a very unique story. I have a very unique perspective on the creative world and the creative industry. And, you know, a lot of times I remember kind of dimming that and saying, you know, hey, Brittany, you're not really that special. Like, you know, your story is just like everyone else's, I'm sorry, but your story is just like, you know, you just left college, like that's all there is to it. But I definitely feel like from my 20th birthday, I'm now 21, so it's been almost a year, I have definitely not had that mindset anymore. I see my story and the way that I perceive the world and the things that I want to share as such a unique, you know, perspective. And I definitely feel like that's something that I will continue to overshare about, because the amount of love that I received off of that story was absolutely like, it made my heart feel, I felt so validated. Like the words of affirmation, like love language in me was just like pounding. I was like in my prime. So I'm really happy that you were inspired by that, because look at you making something so amazing and changing the world with your light. So yeah, let's just get into it. What are you wanting to know?
I'm excited. So I want to start, if you can give like a little self-introduction about you, who you are, where you're from, what you do, what type of content you create, all your creative endeavors, just for someone who might not be following you right now.
Yeah. So if you're new and you've never met me before, you've never heard my voice, my name is Brittany. I feel like we are good friends just by the fact that you clicked on this podcast. Just a little bit about me. Like I said, my name is Brittany. My full name is Brittany Merrill. Some people call it Merle because of my username, but it's pronounced Brittany Merrill. I just turned 21 on November 18th. I'm a Scorpio. Woohoo! I am an Enneagram 7, which is the enthusiast, which, ooh, if you know me, that is to a T. I'm to a T, an enthusiast. And I have been content creating for about, 6 years. I feel like I've been active on social media for like 6 years because when I started everything. But I definitely think that my content creation has been going on since 2017. You know, you asked where I'm from. I am from a little town outside of Athens, Georgia called Bethlehem. It is a tiny, tiny town. my graduating class had 36 people in it. I went to a private Christian
academy. Gosh.
And I definitely feel like that has a huge part of my story as well. So I'm excited for us to get into that. Yeah. What I do is I'm a creative content creator. Yeah, creative content. No, I'm a content creator. I was like, creative content creator. That sounds really repetitive.
So many creative things.
So many creative things. Literally, I feel like just a huge umbrella of creativity. From making physical products to digital goods such as presets and Instagram guides to you know, my spell books, which are these little like creative notebooks that are customizable, from, you know, web design to social media posts to getting getting products in and reviewing them and then posting them on my page. But recently I just started into brand development as well. So when we talk a little bit later about what I'm doing now, I'm excited to share with you guys about that as well, because that's a huge part of my life right now. And I'm absolutely obsessed with helping brands find their vision and then portraying that. Like essentially, mm-hmm. I would be considered as like the bridge between a business owner and how the customer portrays them. So I'm getting into that as well. And you asked what the type of content that I create is, and the best way I described it, which is kind of cheesy, so sorry if you guys hate this, but I used my Instagram bio. I took a long time to curate my Instagram bio, and I said it was, my Instagram is, you know, sharing the people that I love, the clothes that I wear, and the world around me. And so the type of content that I make is essentially like a digital scrapbook. I really like the idea of it being raw, kind of, you know, it is filtered, but I want it to look uncut and I want it to look like it's just like you're walking with me every day. That's just a little bit about me.
Yay. Okay. Oh my gosh, that's a good description. Look at you. Okay, so can you take us a little bit further back to when you were in your hometown in high school? When did you kind of start to feel like the traditional path in school wasn't for you? And what was that like?
So I would like to first say, if my high school teachers are listening to this, I would like to give a sweet shout out to Miss Cricket Butler. She was my 11th grade AP US history teacher. And I absolutely hated her class. I feel like I was such a good student. I feel like I was involved. I felt like I tried really hard. I felt like I always put my best forward. You know, I never got the grades that reflected that. Mm-hmm. But I definitely feel like the moment that I knew that my life was completely different than my peers was my 11th grade AP US history class. I did, for the people who want to know, I failed that AP test. I mean, like, I got a one on it.
I failed.
Yeah, I literally made a one on it. So if anyone feels like they are just, they're beating themselves up over that one test, just let me know, girl. Look at me now, okay? I definitely say that was when I felt like the traditional path in school wasn't for me, was because I was sitting in that class and I remember the exact table I was sitting at. And I remember seeing my amazing classmates. You know, one of them was going to, it was Yale, I think. One of them wanted to go to Yale. And another girl in my class who I was really close friends with, she was just so smart. She was so smart. And to this day, I still look up to her. And I just remember thinking to myself, why can't I get this? Like, why do I not understand this material? Like, definitely not like I don't try, you know? And I just remember thinking to myself, like, you know, these classmates around me are so smart, they're so genius. Like, why do I suck? And it took me a long time to actually come to terms with the fact that my path was just completely cut differently. I'm from a different cut of cloth. And, you know, it was my first semester in college when I realized that I wanted to leave school. But back to high school, that's when I knew something was different. You know, I just was always involved in like the creative stuff. Like I loved my art class. I loved working in yearbook. You know, I was the chief, like the chief editor in my yearbook. And I remember thinking to myself, you know what? I may suck at AP US history, but I'm really good at these two aspects. So maybe this will carry me through high school. So yeah, that's kind of when I knew that like the traditional path of education wasn't for me. But at that time, I still knew I was going to college.
Yeah, that's one of the biggest parts of your story that I resonated with, because literally same thing for me. I went to a super bigger, but I went to a super like academically intense school, and people would come from hours away to go to the school for academics, right? Yeah. And I remember like in order to compete with them, you had to give up your whole life for school. Like I remember coming home and being so frustrated. Like if I make this YouTube video, I don't have time to do my math homework and I'm going to fail the test tomorrow, but I want to make this YouTube video so bad. And so it was like this constant struggle of like, what do I choose? Cause you know, you go to school and then you get the F and that feels horrible, but know inside, like this isn't how it should be. So for anyone who's younger listening, if you feel like that right now, I feel like every creative person feels that way. And I just didn't know it at the time.
Yeah. And so I definitely don't want to say, hey, make the YouTube video and don't do your studying. Like, please do your studying. I've never been the one to tell someone to not do their homework or not do their schoolwork. But, you know, just talk to your teachers. Be like, hey, look, this is how I'm feeling. You know, I was so thankful that I had such an amazing friendship and connection with my math teacher, Ms. Suttles. And I still call her Ms. Suttles. But she sat with me and she helped me make flip books. And she helped me do all these things to really help me try to understand the physical like aspect of math. And you know some classes just didn't do that, you know. It was the it was AP US history that really beat my butt. But yeah, no, to any younger person listening, please do your homework, but also talk to your teachers.
that's good advice too. Yeah, they'll definitely help you if you have good ones. I had terrible ones, but you know,
we're better now.
That's amazing. Okay, so going into college a little bit, because I know you said first semester of college is kind of like how you knew you were like, school isn't for me. Can you share a little bit about your journey applying to college and kind of learning to trust God's plan and like discovering what your plan was? Because I know from hearing your story before, like that was a really important time for you.
Yeah, so let's, I want to take it back just a step, because the community that I had around me, It was so weird, because I had all of these amazing people online, you know, who were supporting my creative ideas and who were wanting to see me post and who were wanting to watch my YouTube videos and wanted to buy what I was selling. All these amazing people, you know, whether it be in the Gal Pals, whether it be in the Pen Pal group, whether it be in all of that, they were so supportive. But it was like the people in my physical everyday life that were like, oh my God, you have to go to college. It was my aunts and uncles. And it was my, you know, my mom and dad who were like, well, we kind of expected you to go to college. It was my high school boyfriend at the time and his extremely strict family who like made me feel like I was not worthy of like being in their family unless I went to college. It was the, you know, it was the everyday people that I saw, like my high school teachers, you know, kind of not, I don't want to say, like, they kind of wanted everyone who graduates from my high school, like, you go to college. Like, the likelihood of you not going to college is very slim. So I was definitely going against the grain there. And so that kind of is when I started to kind of freak out a little bit about applying to college, because in my head and in my heart, I was saying, you know, I don't have to go. I'll just take a gap year. I don't have to do this right now. I can just, you know, take some time off, do whatever I want, go traveling, whatever. But it was like everyone around me who was kind of like, whoa, 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 The likelihood, like the amount of times people told me do you know the statistic of people who don't go to college their first year and then they end up never going back? Like that stressed me out so much. Mm-hmm. And not to mention all of my peers and all of my classmates were getting acceptance letters and they were, you know, already taking their SAT five times by the time I took my first one. It was a lot of that. And so I think when we talk about like my journey to applying college, you know, it was stressful. It was hard. It broke me, like literally broke me to my core. I remember feeling like I didn't want to do it, but feeling like I had to do it. I remember, you know, I didn't want to go to University of Georgia. Why? Because all of my cousins had gone there and it just didn't seem like the place I wanted to be. I didn't want that kind of atmosphere. Yeah. And so the story of how I applied to college and how this whole big thing happened was because I applied to three colleges. Mm-hmm. Before I graduated high school, on my graduation day, I had applied to zero colleges. And I remember being at graduation and being like, oh my God, I haven't done this. I still had a summer left before, but I was stressing out. Mm-hmm. So right after college, high school, I applied to Savannah College of Art and Design. Mm-hmm. I had applied to Georgia Southern and that was it. So for fall 2018, I had applied to only SCAD and to only Georgia Southern. And I remember getting an acceptance letter from SCAD and being like, oh, cool. Mm-hmm. And then I remember getting a denial letter from Georgia Southern. Mm-hmm. And at the time, for anyone who's kind of confused on like why I picked Georgia Southern, is because my boyfriend at the time, I was super stressed about college and I knew I didn't want to do this college thing. And so he kind of tricked me into going down and touring the college. And while I was down there, I really did fall in love with it. It was a beautiful campus. It was great. Mm-hmm. I kept saying to myself, oh, my friends are going to Georgia Southern. You know, it's only 4 hours away from home. You know, my boyfriend's there. It's a beautiful campus. You know, that's a great fit. Yeah. Like, let's go mm-hmm. there. Like, my parents would love it, kind of thing, you know? It kind of totally. Checks off all my boxes. And so I was like, Georgia Southern is my school. Mm-hmm. I was like, I feel like God is there. And like, I'm sitting here. Oh, girl, you knew what you knew now, baby. Like, I just remember being like, Georgia Southern's my dream school. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Mm-hmm. And so I applied. I got denied fall 2018, got accepted to SCAD. I applied to SCAD simply because of all of the art, like all the art I did in high school, you know, whether it be all of the marketing materials that I made, all of the, you know, events I helped plan, the art, you know, the physical art I made, and then doing yearbook. I was like, oh, and not to mention all of the photography for my high school. I just remember being like, you know what? I had more than enough to get into here, to SCAD. Totally. So anyways, got accepted to SCAD. Great job, Brittany. Got denied from Georgia Southern. That was like a factory reset for me. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh my God, I got denied from a college. I was like, I have to get in at this point. I'm going to work harder and I'm going to get in. So I stayed home fall 2018. My boyfriend was at Georgia Southern still. We're still dating. And, you know, I remember working at the flower shop I worked at and saying, oh, I'm still going to keep applying. Like, I'm just going to apply for spring 2019. And I remember I got denied from that as well. And then I applied for summer 2019. I got denied from that. And let me also please note, for anyone who's curious about why I didn't choose SCAD, in spring of 2019, SCAD was so impressed by my portfolio at the time that they gave me a full ride scholarship to SCAD, Savannah College of Art and Design, which is coincidentally where I'm at now here in Savannah. But girl, why did I reject it? Like, why did I say, oh, thank you so much for this free scholarship to your college? I'm actually going to turn it down. To this day, I just think that was God. I think God knew I was going to end up in Savannah one way or another.
That is so funny.
Let me tell you, I applied to any Georgia Southern campus I could, online, in campus, on Statesboro and at the Armstrong campus, which is also in Savannah. Girl, I got denied from all of them for three semesters. I applied fall 2018, spring 2019, summer 2019. And finally, I was like, something's got to give because I have to go to a college by fall 2019. Mm-hmm. I was like, if I don't go to a college by fall 2019, I'm going to lose my mind. And so finally, at my last time applying, you know, I was tired at this point. I was like, you know what, I'm just going to go to a college near my parents. So I went mm-hmm. to the University of North Georgia at the Arconi campus. And I said to myself, you know what, I'm just going to go here and maybe I'll get enough credits that I can transfer. I took 18 mm-hmm. credit hours my first semester of college and I loved every second of it. I loved every second of it. I was kind of bad at my math class, but I still graduated. I still left that college with a phenomenal grade. Like for 18 credit hours and me to be above a 3.8 is absolutely insane as a first time yeah. college student. And so I knew I wasn't dumb. Like mm-hmm. I knew I wasn't stupid. I knew that I had more than enough credentials to get into Georgia Southern. And mm-hmm. I had everything that they needed and I still got denied. Make it make sense. Because I can't. And so when we talk about like the climb that I had to endure to find yeah. myself, mm-hmm. I think it was the fact that like God was so prominent in that moment for me. He kept slamming that door in my face. And I literally kept saying, blah, 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 can't hear you, can't see you. Yep. And that's just such a huge part of my story that I look back now and think, you know, you were at your lowest point. You know, me getting denied from Georgia Southern put me in therapy. You know, my boyfriend and I ended up breaking up. You know, I was at the lowest of my lows. I even talk about on the story how, you know, I was really dealing with like depression and suicide and, you know, all of the big mental health issues that come with being at your lowest point. And so, you know, I was fighting with my family, you know, everything. Mm-hmm. And so that's kind of like my journey to applying to college, you know. And it wasn't until I went to therapy at the University of North Georgia that I started to realize that I might have a life outside of college.
So, yeah. Wow, that's amazing. I love that part of your story because I feel like that's something that so many people can relate to. Cause I remember me and my best friend going through the same thing of like getting denied from this school and getting denied from this school. And it was once again, like, why? Like you have the grades, you have the extracurriculars. We were presidents of clubs. Like what is going on? But it really, like, we weren't supposed to be there. And in the moment, that's so frustrating. And especially 18, like, how do you understand that when you're told I need to go here, I need to do this. And then that door really, like you said, just does get slammed in your face. And it's hard to find the open window.
Yeah, absolutely. And like, I don't know if I mentioned this already, but I was a first generation college student. My parents never went to college. And I think part of me was growing up saying to myself, I'm going to go to college. I'm going to make a lot of money because the things that I had to live without growing up, my kids won't have to live without. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I want to make my parents proud. I want them to be sitting at my college graduation. Mm-hmm. And I had just put like, you know, they didn't even put that pressure on me. They kept telling me, Brittany, you could not go to college if you didn't want to. But in my head, I was like, I'm going to be the biggest failure if I don't go to college. And it took me so long to realize that. And so to anyone who is listening, I'm going to say this really quickly. If you feel those feelings that I'm feeling, girl, I wish I could give you a hug because I know the pain mm-hmm. that you're going through. But just know that your life is made for so much more. And I'm just excited for you to hear the rest of this story because you're going to be excited about your future just as much as I am. You're just in the thick of it right now.
Mm-hmm. For sure. We got to get to the good stuff.
Yes, the good stuff.
Okay. So when did you finally feel, I don't know if okay is the right word, but when did you kind mm-hmm. of start to accept like, okay, I'm taking a different path. I need to find my footing. Like where did you turn next?
So when I got denied from Georgia Southern the last time, I was like, something has to give. I have to go to college. So I went to University of North Georgia. And while I was doing that, I said to myself, I don't have a boyfriend anymore. And I don't have any friends in my area. So mm-hmm. I need to meet someone. I need to meet a friend. I need a friend. I don't need a boyfriend. I need a friend.
Friend, for
so
sure.
So I went on Bumble BFF, as any normal girl would, to meet friends. And look at me now. I met my best friend in the whole world, Emily that Williamson, so if you're cute. Listening to this, I love you. And I say this with every being in my chest, Emily saved my life. And I think that God is up there shaking his head at me right now, thinking, girl, you're giving Emily all my credit. But I swear, he put Emily in my life. There was absolutely no rhyme or reason why we should have met. I was in Athens. She was in Augusta. That is 2 hours away from each other. And, you know, Emily pushed me to go to therapy. And so when you said, when did you finally feel okay taking a different path? It wasn't until I went to therapy. And, you know, I remember my therapist, and I shared this in my story. My therapist asked me a question, and she said, she cut me off in the middle of my sentence. And she was like, Brittany, I know you're stressed about all of this, but just take a breather. And I took a breather. And she said, I remember sitting in the therapist, my therapist's chair, and she looked me in the face and cut me off in my sentence. And she said, Brittany, if you could plan out your life right now, what would you want it to look like? And I rambled on. I said, oh, I would do this, and I would go to college for 4 years, and blah, 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 whatever. And then halfway through that, she cut me off, and she says, now, what does your dream life look like? And I know this sounds so dramatic of me to, you know, do the little pauses and stuff, but it's exactly how it was. She literally said, what does your dream life look like? And it snapped just like that. Mm-hmm. Literally, it snapped. And I remember thinking to myself, whoa, Brittany, what are you doing? Like, why are you trying so hard to get into this college when all of the things you love about your life and the world around you and what you have to bring to the table has absolutely nothing to do with a 4-year education and a master's degree? I was like, what is wrong with me? I've been pushing and pushing and pushing for this door to open, and it is locked. It is closed. Mm-hmm. My dream life does not look like this. My dream life does not look like me sitting in an office chair and, you know, in a cubicle working for some other person's business in their dream. My dream looks like me doing my own path and me having CEO on my office door and me having all of these things. And that is not required. I mean, of course it is required for some jobs, but in my job, sure, yes. My dream job, it is not required. So why am I pushing this? Just take a step back and keep pursuing your dreams. And that is when I said, I don't care. I don't care anymore. I don't care what my aunt has to say. I don't care what my cousins think about me not going to school. I don't care about what my classmates think. Like, I'm just going to pursue my dream life, and we're going to see how it goes. And I kept remembering the idea that if all else fails, I can just go back to college.
Absolutely.
Okay. I'll be 30 in the classroom. I don't care. Like, if it doesn't work out, I can just go back to college. Like, that was okay. And so that is exactly when I felt fine with it. And all of the people that were close to me, whose opinion I truly, truly valued, they were for it. Emily was That's like, awesome. Oh my God, girl, you got this. The gal pals were like, oh my God, girl, you got this. Pen pal groups, your girl, you got this. Like, mom and dad, girl, you got this. And I think that is when I was like, you know what? Why am I worrying about the opinion of people who aren't in my life?
Mm-hmm.
And so that's exactly, like, I can pinpoint it literally then was when my therapist said that to me. And I hope one day I can write her a letter and be like, thank you for this, because you changed my life. And Emily, I wish that one day when I have this big, beautiful business and company, she can have an office right next to mine, and I can say, thank you for believing in me, because that is exactly, oh gosh, I'm getting emotional. That was exactly the moment that I felt like I was totally fine with taking a different path.
Oh my gosh. I think that's like my favorite part of your story, because I think everyone can kind of do that for themselves after hearing you say that. You know, you can really sit with yourself and say, what do I want and what am I doing? And if they don't match up, that's a reality check.
That's actually a great point. Like,
yeah. I think it's so brave too, because I think a lot of people do realize that it doesn't match up and they don't know what to do. They're afraid of it. And like, I don't blame them at all, but I think it's so brave of you to really like fully accept that and say, this is what I'm here to do and I'm going to do it. And I don't know what it looks like, but I'm so excited. I think that's a really brave thing. So
Thank you. Yeah, no, and one thing that I have to note is that my parents were 100% okay with me leaving school, but they made me have a plan. Like, mm-hmm. there was no way that I could have just left school and then stayed at home for 9 hours a day. Mm-hmm. There was absolutely no way that they would have allowed me to do that. You know, I've been working a job since I was 14 years old. For sure. You know, I've definitely loved the workforce. And so my parents were like, you know, hey, babe, we love you. And we're so happy that you found what you mm-hmm. want to do. But you have to provide for yourself, because mm-hmm. although we are giving you a free space to live, you know, we're going to run dry at one point, and you're going to be, we don't want you to be 27 and still living at home. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, absolutely. You know, I'm going to give you the best Britt Merrill business plan you need to know. And I did. I gave them that. And, you know, they were very confused at first. And they didn't know half the things that I was doing. And I definitely did not have my stuff together, even though I did a really good job of making it look like I did on paper. But they definitely made me have a plan. So if you're wanting to leave college and you wanting to do something with your life, girl, you better make that business plan. You better sit down and find a PDF document online, and you better make it right, because you got to have your stuff together, because this is a very fast world. Sure. And if you don't have a plan, then you're going to go in ghost mode.
For sure. Yeah, that's a good reminder. I always forget that, because I feel like people see our intention when you're saying, like, you know, I left college to pursue this, or like, I obviously assume you had a plan and you were set up. So
yeah,
we weren't sitting at home, promise. Okay, that's awesome. So fast forward to that moment when you're like, this is what I'm doing, this is my plan, to a little bit of kind of like where you are now, moving to Savannah, kind of like getting your whole business going and starting on all of that.
Yeah, so this is a big part. So I'm a big numeral person. So the moment that I started, okay, so as a social media influencer, which I hate the term influencer, but as a social media content creator influencer, mm-hmm. there is a very fine line between, yeah, I have a bunch of followers, and yeah, please pay me so that I can post your product on my page. Mm-hmm. And so I really, really looked into how much is my account worth? How much mm-hmm. What is my worth for an Instagram post? You know, Kim Kardashian can post something right now on her Instagram feed and get paid $9 million. Right. You know, but Britt Merrill can do that. So how do I make money from this so that I continue to work, you know, so I can continue to work at this and give it my all, but still have enough money that I can afford gas in my car? Sure. So, you know, I was still working my job at the flower shop at the time. I was working at a tanning salon at this point. I decided to leave the flower shop so that I could really pursue this full time, and I wanted a more lax job. So I started working at a tanning salon, which was great for me because I also looked great in all my Instagram pictures. and so I decided that I wanted to start making money, you know, I wanted an income. I wanted money that was going to come into me every week without me having to you know, dig for it every single week. And so I decided that I had a lot of people at the time, coincidentally, who were asking me how I edited my photos. And they were asking me, you know, what I was doing and like what I edited with, because, you know, I went from Visco C1 to Aspen Ovard presets, mm-hmm. but all of a sudden my page looks different. Like, what are you doing, Brittany? Like, you haven't shared this with us. And so I'm pretty sure at this time I had 10K, which was really great. And I decided that I really, really, really wanted to figure out how to sell my presets. Now, I didn't want to do this. If I was going to do something, I'm going to do it right. I mean, we're talking about YouTube videos and guides and, you know, photographers' classes that I paid for showing me exactly how to edit on skin for other people, not just myself and not just my white skin and blonde hair. So I really, really researched into that. You know, like any good art, you must put the time into it. And so I decided to launch my presets on May 1st of 2019. But I had been using those presets prior to September 2018. So at this point, you know, I had decided that, hey, my presets are great. You know, at September, use your own, make your account mm-hmm. unique. And, you know, knowing me, I'm obsessed with color. And so I got really, really tired of seeing all these presets that made me look orange and the mm-hmm. grass look dead. That really killed my vibe. And the presets I had been using prior to my own did that. And I didn't like it. I wanted my feed to literally look like a rainbow when you popped onto my page. And so that's when I started using my own. And then I had finally perfected them by May 1st, 2019. And that was my launch date. And so once that started happening, I started to get an income that was suffice enough for me to leave my job. And I got to decide, you know, hey, do you want to move out, Brittany? Do you want to buy a new car? Or do you want to, you know, take this money and go shopping? Like, what did I want to do? And I decided that it was time. I was now 18, 19 years old. I was 18 years old at this time. And I had decided, you know what? I'm ready to fly the nest. I have this money. I'm ready to go. I'm completely financially independent at this point. Where am I going to move to? And what is my plan? And so Emily, coincidentally at the time, her and her boyfriend had broken up, unfortunately, at the time. And she said to me, Brittany, I got to get out of this town. It's either I move out of here and move in with you, or I got to go back to Colorado, which is her hometown. And so we were like, all right, Brittany, what are you going to do? And I was like, pick a place, babe. Like, I want to go somewhere. And we had landed on Savannah. At the time, previously, I'd only been to Savannah on a fifth grade trip, so I didn't even remember what the city was like.
Yeah.
I literally just jumped and was like, all right, let's go visit it once, and then maybe we'll like it enough to move down here. And I think the best part about following a path that God has already predestined for you is that it's completely anxiety-free. And a lot of people are going to say, whoa, 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 there's no way you didn't stress about this at all. But it's true. I didn't stress about this one bit. And my mom was the one who actually pointed that out to me, because I remember saying, I don't understand why Georgia Southern was such a stressful thing for me. Like, why was this so hard? And why is this move to a very similar place? I'm moving literally 20 minutes away from campus of Georgia Southern. Why is it so unstressful? And my mom was like, it's because it was God's plan for you, Brittany. And it's because you don't have to work for what God has ready for your life. And I was like, oh my gosh, like, did she just say that? Like, I need to write this down. And like, the doors opened. Like, the fact that I'm sitting in an $1,800 apartment and I am paying $1,300 for it is insane. That's absolutely unheard of.
That's awesome, dude.
It's the fact that, like, my roommate and I are best friends and we rarely argue and we are the best roommate duo is so rare. Like, the fact that so many amazing things happen, it's the fact that, like, the amount of money that I made, you know, with my presets gave me such a great jumping off point where I could walk into a new life completely worry free of like money aspect is insane. Like, everything that had come to Savannah for me, it was so backed up by a promise of God and what he had for my life. And that is just insane. Like, and I think it's important, like, you know, like I said before, like, if it's predestined from God, it's anxiety free. You don't have to stress about what's happening because it's already planned out for you. And, you know, if you feel like there's a lot of anxiety around a certain decision and a certain aspect of your life, maybe it's just not for you. Like, maybe it's not God's plan for you. So really take a step back and look into it, because you might be trying to budge open a door that's just not ready for you to open. And so that's kind of when I decided to really jump for it, because everything was telling me yes. You know, there was no deep and horrible search for an apartment. It had just stumbled upon us. You know, there's so many little things that I could share about that. But yeah, that's kind of like the good part about, you know, moving and is that it all just kind of fell into place perfectly without me having to force it.
That is such a good reminder. Like, seriously, a weight lifted off my heart when you said that like when it's God's plan, there's not going to be anxiety around that. And I think that's such a good reminder, because I know even in my own life, and I'm sure like you can obviously attest to it too, like, you really do like deal with this anxiety and struggle and struggle and like wreck your mental health when you're just pushing down a path that isn't meant for you. And like the path that is, like, why would your life be miserable? And why would you have to feel those feelings like when it's something that's for you?
You know that, you know that TikTok sound that's like, when you have a job you love, you won't have to work for it. And then that girl cuts over it. And it's like, actually, when you have a job you love, you will work for it harder and you put more time in and you do it. That's exactly how I feel about that.
Yes.
Like none of it was work. None of it was hard. None of it was, oh my gosh, this happened. So which means we can't do this. None of that happened. Like it, I wanted it and it felt like it was predestined from God. So I worked harder for it, but it came to me effortlessly. Like
exactly.
the investment that I was putting in of my time and my energy and my dedication, I got that back in tenfold in receiving.
For sure.
Because it wasn't work. It wasn't hard. It was what God had planned for me. So yeah, not that.
For sure. Oh my gosh, I love that. So we have preset pack one, super successful. You're out in Savannah. You're launching another one. You're kind of keeping that train moving. What's that like?
Yeah. So May 1st, 2019, I had my first pack out by that summer. So like June, July, I had launched my summer collection. And once I moved to Savannah, everything edits differently here. It's the trees, it's the moss.
So true.
And I was like, whoa, I need a more like kind of like neutral, like still colorful pack. But I needed it to be, I needed it to edit differently than my previous pack. So that's when I came up with the autumn collection, because I had moved to Savannah in October of 2019. Mm-hmm. And so I had just freshly moved and I said, I moved. Let's make a new preset pack. And so that's, even if you go read my descriptions of my presets, mm-hmm. you can kind of see the story of why I made them the way that I did. But yeah, so autumn of 2019, I had made my third preset pack. And at this point, I had seen so much success in the three total packs I have at this point that I was not going to stop. And to be honest, I'm about to launch a new preset pack now. And I think this is going to be something that I continue to do for a really long time because I genuinely love it. I genuinely love sitting down and making such a unique edit for other people to enjoy. And it makes my heart so happy to go on someone's Instagram feed and see that they're editing with my presets. And so, yeah, that's kind of how I started that. It was, like I said before, it was such a well-oiled train. And I kept saying, you know what, if it's going good, don't stop it now. Let's just keep adding coal to it. And so that's kind of why I chose to continue doing my presets, which obviously led to more growth on my page.
Totally.
Which had also led to some amazing big milestone collaborations that I got to do.
That's so exciting. So mainly it was your presets. That's kind of like what you were doing and how you were making money and able to move out. And wow, that's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, my presets 100% are my main source of income, like to this day.
Awesome.
They're what helped me pay rent. They are what helped me feed my kitty. they are everything. Like I said before, like they're so fun to create that I genuinely like happy dance when I see someone purchase them, because I'm like, you're about to love these just as much as I love them.
Okay, so like you said, kind of moving on, getting more traction on your page from the presets, and you kind of got some really awesome brand collaborations. You had Princess Polly and Daniel Wellington, I know that were like your big two, which is so awesome. Congrats on that. Did those affect your confidence, like knowing that you could do that and you had kind of established yourself as a brand, and it's like, okay, I'm not just relying on these presets and those sales, like me, Britt Merrill, as a brand, like I'm established now and I can do this side of it too.
Yeah, absolutely. So I love small businesses. I've always been a huge small business lover, Small Business Saturday, whatever. But it was really, really exciting to get two major collaborations from big brands that have over, 200,000, 300,000 people
totally.
On Instagram. I felt like a very little fish in a big tank at first.
Mm-hmm.
But I kind of used that to my advantage, saying, hey, I don't look like the rest of your little model girls. I have my own style, I have my own unique thing. Let me show you how I can take your pieces and make them unique and make them my own. And Daniel Wellington, oh, girl, I did not grow up with a lot of money. And I remember going to the Mall of Georgia and thinking to myself, oh my God, I love this watch. I love this watch so much. I wish I could get it, but I can't afford it right now. And for me to get an email from them, whoo, child, so cool. I was so, I felt like on top of the world. It definitely did not, I mean, it didn't make my head big. I was so honored to be.
It's just really cool. Yeah.
But it felt like I went to my mom and I was like, do you remember those watches that I used to point at Macy's? Mom, I got one. And she was so proud of me. And it honestly made me very like, you know, what I took, the photos I took from those collaborations, I kind of put in an online portfolio for me to message other brands like Lulu's and all these other brands and say, hey, look, I've done this for Princess Polly and Daniel Wellington. You're on the same playing field as them. Do you want to do a collaboration with me? And so I definitely feel like they helped a lot because they kind of jumped me up from, you know, working with small business boutiques to being able to work with like Lulu's and Zara and all that stuff.
Awesome. Oh my gosh, that's so cool. I love those little moments, and it's crazy like how things come full circle like that, where it's like, you know, you used to walk in the mall and like see those watches and then it just comes back to you. I think those moments are so cool.
Yeah, I kind of feel like Taylor Swift a little bit.
Queen.
Yeah, you know, Taylor Swift always makes these little references about how she was younger and she would be here, and then all of a sudden she's like now playing in like Madison Square Garden. I kind of felt like Taylor Swift a little bit, but on a much smaller scale. But I definitely had
I think we should all pretend and want to be Taylor Swift at all hours of the day. That's just really important to me.
Yes.
Okay, so moving on to like here and now, current Brit, like what she got going on. I'm very excited to hear about it. Like what's day to day, what you got cooking up?
Girl, so where do I even start? So actually literally last night, I've had the most insane week, the most insane month.
You're like, in like October, a crazy spot right now.
October, November, and December are so packed. Like the fact that I was free to do this podcast, even though we did have to reschedule it once, is insane. Like I am extremely blessed to be in this podcast, to be honest. And I'm glad that I still have the ability to even talk to you. Feel so drained. Okay. So my day-to-day life now of Brittany. Wow. So I currently have, I'm still living in Savannah. I will be moving into a new house on December 1st in downtown Savannah. So we're moving from about 20 minutes outside of downtown to a new little house in downtown. I currently have 6 preset packs out, I want to say. It's roughly 6 preset packs out. And I'm about to launch my 7th. This preset pack is going to be called the Everyday Aesthetic. It's a collection of presets. There's 4 of them. And I'm extremely excited for that. I've been obsessed like we talked about the minimalistic look. And so I've been trying to kind of channel that in my everyday life, you know, the still the bright colors that I love, but keeping it kind of an unedited look, but still enough where you feel like you can post it. So that's what my new collection is going to be. I'm excited to share all of that with you guys. I'm also, while doing this, I am also working with a small business in downtown Savannah called Mammy Ruth and M. Liz Jewelry. My boss, Emily, and Mary Liz are two of the most inspirational women that I know. I love their stories. I love their vision. I love their eyes. You know, when the moment I stepped into that store, I knew that I either wanted to shop there for the rest of my life or I wanted to get my foot in the door. And coincidentally, I do both. So I do that. I started out working as a retail employee. So I just checked out customers, made sure the floors were clean, put out new products. But, you know, I talked to Emily for a little bit and she and I kind of worked out a way that I could continue to do that, but also help the store's creative development, which means like any of the store, like new launches, I am in charge of that. I meet with contractors and pick paint colors with my bosses. We design the store, pick out a good layout for the store. So it kind of like combines everything I love about like one of my inspirations, Joanna Gaines, and like channeling it to like my everyday life. And so I'm really excited about this job. I'm really blessed to have this job. It is a lot of work, but nothing good in life, it comes easy. And so I feel like this job has kind of met me exactly where I'm supposed to be right now. It's teaching me a lot about how I want to run my own business one day, what type of atmosphere I want to create, and, you know, just the type of boss that I want to be and the type of, you know, vibe that I'm going for. It's definitely teaching me a lot about myself and my strengths and weaknesses. So that's kind of what I'm doing right now. On my social media, I'm still chilling. I actually have taken a step back from my collaborations at the moment, just so that I can kind of breathe. You know, we're going into November. I had my birthday on the 18th. My 21st birthday on the 18th, yes. And I had my party on the 21st. I'm just now getting back to Savannah, and I'm back on a full work week. And then, of course, Thanksgiving. And then I won't be going home for Thanksgiving because of everything. I'm going to move. So I'm really, and not to mention, not only is my home life moving, but so is my work life because we're going into our new store. So It's just so insane right now. I feel like my life is just overwhelmed. I eat on the go. I sleep for like 6 hours and then wake up. I'm definitely, definitely excited about this next chapter of my life, but I'm also so ready for 2020 to be over. So
I feel you. Better things are coming in every aspect.
Yes,
I feel
definitely.
Okay. So what's kind of like your mentality going into every day now, like after kind of what you've learned and what you've shown yourself and all of that, like, what do you wake up and say? And like, I don't know, just how do you go into each day? Cause I feel like you're so positive and confident, and a lot of people will be like, I want to be like that too.
Yeah, no. So, I think that if someone was looking for inspiration from me, I think that something that you might want to note is the fact that you need to wake up every morning and say to yourself, you know, everything that I have to offer to this world is valuable. And it might be hard for you to believe that right now in your life or where you're at, but it's true. You have something valuable, and that's not coming from someone who, you know, I mean, I went through so much crap to get to where I'm at now. But at the moment, in the middle of the crap, it was not easy for me to wake up and say that. You know, I went through this phase where I kept saying to myself, you know, I am my own dream girl. I am the woman, like the woman that I want to be in 5 years, 10 years, 15 years is still mm-hmm. the same woman who's in me right now. And mm-hmm. to just continue to be, wake up with like, just knowing that I have a unique vision and that my life is, you know, already laid out for me. And all I have to do is just wake up and take it one day at a time and keep putting my best foot forward. So that's kind of like my everyday, like, mindset. And I think it's just very simplistic. I try not to overthink it. I just wake up and do life.
I love that. That's all you can do, right?
Yeah. One day at a time. Literally, exactly. One day at a time. When I'm overwhelmed, my mama sits there and I call her and I cry and she says, baby, just one day at a time. So that's how I'm doing it. One day at a time.
Yes. I love that. Okay. People submitted a few questions, if you have time for a couple of them, because I know we're long, but it's okay. We're having fun. Okay. So question number one is, what have you seen the most Instagram growth from / kind of how did you take your account to the next level from like a personal?
So interaction with your followers is so key. One of the things that I actually don't like out of influencers and people with, you know, a number of following is the fact that they have so many people who are commenting and interacting with their posts and they don't say or do anything back to them. Those people are single-handedly the only reason why you have collaborations in the first place.
Totally.
So the fact that you're not interacting with them actually irks me. You know, and if you've commented on my post and I have not responded to you, first of all, I'm so sorry. I try my absolute best. I try to respond to every single DM that I receive, even though I have tons. Just definitely interaction with posts. You know, the first 5 minutes of your post when it's live are the most crucial. You know, people, if they comment back to them, like stuff, share it, post it. You know, nobody really knows how the Instagram algorithm works because it changes up so frequently. But just be the type of person you would want out of someone you follow. If you love someone's Instagram account, like if you love someone's Instagram account, how would you want them to interact with you, like a follower? Like, exactly. That's what I would say for your own page. Like, someone's like seriously admires you if they're commenting on your page. It's not just a bunch of random people. So interact with them the way that you would want to be interacted with. So that's my biggest like tip, like post and within the first 5 minutes, like just share it like crazy and get your friends to like it. And if they comment back to them and, you know, always include ways for people to be interactive, whether it be questions or polls or sharing your life. Like the best part about me doing these story shares is the fact that people swipe up and say, you know what? I've been so overwhelmed too. Like, totally. Good. I'm glad we can hold hands in this and go through it together because I'm stressing out. So like, definitely like just overshare your life. People want to see what you're doing. So that's kind of like my story for growth there.
That is such good advice. I love that. Cause I feel like sometimes, and if you haven't listened to my episode with Lindy yet, like hers was very like nitty gritty. We kind of got down to like, how did you do this? Like literally what actual steps? Cause I feel like that's helpful for a lot of people too. Yeah. And I love that your side is the more like interact, care.
Yeah.
Like I said before,
awesome. I want my page to literally be a digital scrapbook. I hope that Instagram doesn't go out before I have babies because I would love for my kids to just go and read about like my life as a 16-year-old, because that was at that point in my life, that was the most important things to me because I would share them all the time. I want them to see, you know, the things that I love to do. And so I kind of just interact with my page the way that I would interact with someone who is like writing me a note or writing me a letter. Like if you're going to write me a comment, I feel like it's just as important as something you would say to my face if you were right there with me. So I don't know. That's kind of how I feel. I'm definitely not too structural when I think about, oh my gosh, how do I gain followers? But even though I would love to hit 20K, it is insane to like see so much, you know, like just interact with people.
Yeah, that's awesome. Okay, we'll do one more question. Okay. You actually got like a couple of these. I think it's probably because of what you're doing now, but advice for someone starting a small business.
Ooh. Okay. So 100% write out a business plan. We've already touched on this, but I cannot stress it enough. You need to know. One of the biggest stressors of my life was that I would say I wanted to do something, but I didn't know the steps to take. So if I wanted to sell a product, I never researched how much would it be to ship it or what would it be to package it up? What would I want to do? How much will it total cost me to make this product and how much am I going to sell it for? Those are all the important keynotes of a business plan. So if you're wanting to sell a product or sell something or start a business, you need to get down all of the nitty gritty. That way, if somebody walked up to you today and say, hey, I'd love to give you $10,000 for your business, can you tell like to support, to invest in your business, can you give me some information about it? You can pull out this nifty little PDF that says, hi, this is blank's business. This is how much product money I make in product. This is, you know, my vision. This is my goal. And you know what? It doesn't have to be perfect. You could write it on a Chick-fil-A napkin, literally just write something down like that says, this is my business. This is my goal. This is what I'm wanting to sell, and this is why it's special. Emily is obsessed with those really unique candles, you know, like the ones that are in the funky shapes and that are pastels and so pretty. Well, yes. She wanted to start a candle business, and I was all for it. I was like, girl, ooh, baby, if I ever had a boutique, you'd be in it. And I told her that she needed to write out a business plan. And she was like, I don't know how to do that. And I was like, well, fine, I'll help you. So I wrote out this document, and it was an outline, and it was like 8 pages long, just the outline. It talked about a business name, why you chose the business name. It was the direction you wanted to go in. What makes your one candle company different than the thousands of other ones on this planet? Mm-hmm. So think about it in that mindset. You know, when you start breaking it down, it seems a lot easier than saying, oh gosh, I have this idea, but I don't have a plan. Just write out a business plan. And to be honest, now that we're talking about it, I might actually make a little PDF thing on my website that says like, oh, download this. That's a great idea. I might actually do that.
That's such a good idea.
Because I wrote that 7-page business plan up in like literally 6 minutes.
That's so cool.
But yeah, no, I might actually do that because I know a lot of people are definitely stressed. They're like, hey, I want to do this, but I don't know how to. Well, just make out a business plan. Like, just say, this is what I want to do. This is why I think it's important. This is what makes it special. And this is how I'm going to do it. It's a very pillar, easy going. It's not as hard as people make it seem. And you can also get them for free on Google. So just check that out too, if you can't find anything. You said in your notes, we talked mm-hmm. about becoming your own dream girl and like how mm-hmm. that like had that mindset had kind of changed my life. Mm-hmm. There are two books that I definitely recommend to absolutely anyone. One of them I actually bought in Vegas. very spur of the moment. It was a very expensive book, but you could definitely buy it if you're really wanting it. One's cheaper, but there's this book called Wild and Free by Dana Spinola and Jess Connolly. Mm-hmm. That book, I actually am staring at the three copies I have on my shelf. Aww. I love that book. If I could get a signed copy, I would probably cry. That book changed my life. And every time I read it, it meets me exactly where I'm supposed to be. Awesome. You know, I can't promise the same results for you. But that book is 100% one of the best books I've ever read. And I would suggest it to anyone. It's about, you know, these two authors talk about the different perspective. One of them is super wild and the other one is kind of, you know, anxiety ridden, and how to find the perfect balance and saying, I am not too much for a room. Versus, you know, I am hiding in a room because I'm afraid that I'm not enough. So Wild and Free, definitely read that book. And then the second book that I pivot to my Becoming Your Own Dream Girl book is called She by Kate Spade. It's a coffee table book, actually. But it is a beautiful book, with so many stunning images, that kind of share on the independent and unique women. And that book, I remember finishing, like flipping through it and saying to myself, when I get where I want to be, I'm going to cut out a photo and I'm going to paste it in the back of this book, because at this point, once I have hit this goal, I will be my own dream girl. And so those two books are amazing. I definitely encourage other people to find their book that changes their life. But for me, it's those two. So kind of that's kind of what I wanted to add. I feel like everyone really likes to have an outlet, and it's nice to unwind totally. And be inspired. And so definitely find your favorite book, that kind of pushes your boundaries. And of course, mine are Wild and Free and She. So yeah.
Oh my gosh. I love it. It's Brittany's Book Club.
Yes, Brittany's Book Club. Start that. Don't test me. I'm way too excited to start right now.
All right, guys, you officially made it to the end of today's episode. I know it was a long one, but like seriously, we could not stop talking. And I mean, you obviously know because you listened to it. Brittany's story is amazing. So thank you again for coming on the show, Britt. I literally love this episode so much. If you're new to Heartland, make sure you subscribe and leave a review on Apple. Give it 5 stars because this episode was amazing. And make sure you follow the Instagram if you guys want to keep up with the show and new episodes. I have so many fun and exciting guests coming on, and I'm just so excited, you guys. It's going to be so much fun. Both Brittany and my Instagram, YouTube, everything handles will be linked down below if you want to check them out. And I will see you guys next week.